And we will continue this evening with our study on the life of Elijah. And of course, last week had a lesson on the fact that we are fellow laborers. And what a blessing that we had for a few days to partner together with Beacon of Truth Baptist Ministries and serve God together as a team and to see what God would enable us to do. And what a blessing that is. But we'll get back to our study in the life of Elijah. And we've been studying his life now for a couple of months. Made it through the 17th chapter, and partway here through the 18th chapter, we'll pick up this evening in verse number 25. And let me just give you a quick overview of where we are in our last study. If you remember when you were here a few weeks ago, we left Elijah as he was issuing a challenge to the people, and that challenge was accepted. If you look in verse number 24 at the end of the verse, the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." He'd issued the challenge, laid down kind of the what was going to happen. Remember, prior to the people gathering there at Mount Carmel, Elijah stood before Ahab, and Elijah was giving direction to Ahab. Ahab's the king of Israel, wicked man, and Elijah's telling him, here's what you need to do, here's what's going to happen, here's how we're going to roll. And Elijah gives the information to Ahab, and the people gather together, and Elijah had sat down, issued the challenge, and it would be accepted. One thing that we finished with last time that we dealt with the life of Elijah is we discussed in a great detail the confidence of Elijah. We spoke about the fact that Elijah, as you look in verse number 24, he said this, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." I don't think for one moment that there was one little tiny doubt in the heart of Elijah as to who would answer by fire. And he had full confidence that the Lord God Jehovah would answer by fire. When we mentioned the confidence of Elijah, we said this, it's not self-confidence. Rather, we find that the confidence that he had was completely in the Lord. It's important for us as God's people to have that confidence in Him that God will do what He said He would do. And we have great promises in the Word of God, and we find that throughout the Scriptures that every promise that has been given is, many of them have been fulfilled exactly as they've been given, and yet there are more promises for us to claim still today, and we find that God will do exactly what He said He would do. And we can trust Him, and we can have confidence in the Word of God that it is true, it is very faithful. Throughout our study of the life of Elijah, one thing that we have noted over and over is how the Lord prepared Elijah, His servant, for this hour. We studied the 17th chapter. We spent several weeks looking at Elijah's life in 1 Kings 17. And as we studied those events that took place, we mentioned repeatedly how that God was preparing Elijah for this very moment that we're studying now in 1 Kings 18. The drought, the no rain, the drought that led to the famine, we know that it was 3.5 years, and it was during that period of time, not only that God was getting the attention of the nation of Israel, and He was preparing them as well, but we find that He was preparing Elijah. And He was preparing Elijah to know that God is going to do what God said He would do, and that God is able, that God is faithful. And so as we looked at the preparation for Elijah, we now come to this place in our text of study this evening. In verse number 25, notice the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for your many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." Isn't that comical how Elijah is speaking to the prophets of Baal, and they're crying out. It's been about 3 hours at this point, and they're crying out, and they're leaping upon the altar, and yet Elijah is really mocking them, as we find in verse 27, and the Bible tells us that they cried aloud in verse 28, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, notice that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. We'll look as we go down through verse number 39 at this text of Scripture. I've simply given the title this evening from verse number 38. Notice the Bible says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." The title this evening, if you're taking notes, "Then the fire of the Lord fell." I read the verses 25 through 29. If you're taking notes this evening, notice in that section of our text of Scripture this evening, the pleading of the false prophets. We find that they're crying out. We find that Elijah had offered to them, according to verse number 25, that they would go first, for they are many. You'll recall that earlier in the text of Scripture, he says in verse 22 that he was the only one that remained, and yet of Baal's prophets there are 450 men. And so as Elijah stands there, he says to these false prophets, he says to them, you choose a bullock and you set up the altar and you go first. We find that he put that stipulation at the end of verse number 25, but put no fire under. They took the opportunity, they took the bullock according to verse number 26, and they go forth. And the Bible tells us that they called from morning to noon. Now, really, the morning sacrifice, if you look at the nation of Israel and look at their history and what have you, 9 a.m. to noon. So for 3 hours, that's a lengthy period of time, by the way. And for 3 hours, they're calling out. And it says that they're calling, but there was no voice, nor any that answered. You know, in the Psalms and in other portions of Scripture, the Bible speaks about false gods, idols. And he says they have ears, but they hear not. They have mouths, but they speak not. And here we find on this very moment, the nation of Israel is at a place in which Elijah has issued this challenge and he's confronted the people. And remember, as we studied last time, we found that in verse number 21 that Elijah was very clear. He says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people answered him not a word. We find that Elijah is standing there and he's observing as these prophets of Baal are going through all of these activities, and they're calling out and they're crying out. And Elijah begins to mock them, and we read it already in verse number 27. It's interesting, as he gets to the end, he says, "Peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." You know, I'm thankful this evening as we would consider the contrast of what Elijah would, what would be recorded here concerning this event and what Elijah would say. I'm thankful that it's never a situation where our God is too busy for us. Aren't you thankful for that? Our God never needs to be woken up. Amen? He's always available. He's never busy. But we find that Baal is a false god. We find that they're serving idols. Remember, the nation of Israel during this particular time, if you were to remember our very first study a couple of months ago at this point, how that the nation of Israel under the leadership of Jeroboam, how that they went and followed and served false idols, and how that they set up corrupt offerings and all sorts of things that took place. And the Bible tells us that Ahab followed in that path, but then he married Jezebel and introduced the Baal worship. And I mean, they were just corrupted, and the idolatry that was taking place. And here Elijah is standing there and he's observing what's taking place. And as he mocks them, we find that the response of these prophets was to cry louder. But not only to cry louder, they begin to cut themselves. Can you imagine? I mean, this evening, put yourself here in this event in 1 Kings 18. And notice what happens, and notice as these false prophets, and they're pleading and they're crying out, but they're crying out to a false god. They're crying out to a God that cannot answer. They're calling out to a God that cannot do anything because it's a false God, it's an idol. And we find that they begin to cut themselves, the Bible says, until the blood gushed out upon them. It's sad, isn't it? And when you think about the blindness and the way in which they had been so deceived in their false worship, and we find that they're doing all of these things, and yet the Bible says in verse 29, it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So now 3 more hours go by. 6 hours. Can you imagine? All of this activity. And really what we see in these verses of Scripture is the pleading of the false prophets. But I want you to notice that at the end of verse number 29, it says, there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. You know what else was missing? There was no fire. There's no fire. And the Bible clearly says in verse number 24, when Elijah had issued the challenge, he said, call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people, they answered and said, it is well spoken. We see the pleading of the false prophets, but notice in verses 30 through 37, I want you to notice the preparation and prayer of Elijah. In verse number 30, the Bible says, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Remember, Elijah, throughout this text of Scripture, he's really not addressing the false prophets of Baal. He's really dealing with the people. And he's addressing the people. If you were to remember from our last study, in verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, the false prophets, they had already made their decision. They were serving Baal. They were going in that direction. But he's addressing the people, and we find that here in verse number 30 that Elijah says to the people, come near unto me. Notice that the people respond and the people come near unto him. And what does he do? The Bible says, first of all, in verse number 30, the first thing that he did is he repaired the altar that was broken down. It says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. In verse 30 through 35, we see the preparation and what Elijah is doing to prepare for this momentous occasion. And he's repaired the altar. Now in verse 31, the Bible tells us that he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Now we know at this point in Israel's history, the kingdom has been divided, correct? We find that Ahab is the king of Israel, the 10 tribes of the north. And yet we find that Elijah is bringing the 12 stones because that was God's purpose, that was God's intent, his plan, if you will. And we find that he brings these 12 stones according to verse number 31. And as he brings them, he says, according to the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, verse 32, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Notice this, he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. In verse 33, he's preparing for the sacrifice. The Bible says he put the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood. And then notice he says this, in verse 33, 34, and 35, we read about that water that was part of this process. He says this at the end of verse 33, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it the second time. They did it the second time, verse 34. They said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. Notice verse 35, the water ran round about the altar and he filled the trench also with water. We find the preparation and the prayer of Elijah. And before he prays in verse 36 and 37, we find this preparation, and he repairs the altar. He gathers these 12 stones. He sets up the altar. He brings and he makes that trench around the altar, and he prepares the sacrifice, puts the wood in order, cuts the bullock, and then he says, bring those barrels of water and do it a second time and do it a third time, and it's completely saturated at this point. We find that Elijah has such confidence in God. Remember our last point from our last study. He knew the power of God. He had experienced firsthand. God had prepared him through the process of being at the brook and the ravens coming in the morning and the evening and bringing him that food and all of what took place with the meal and the oil which wasted not there at Zarephath and the young boy that was raised from the dead. I mean, God had proven his power to Elijah. And Elijah, according to the word of the Lord, we'll see as he prays that he did all these things according to what God had instructed him to do. But he's got this now sacrifice just totally drenched, and that trench that he had dug is now filled with water. Now imagine being there. I mean, it's very obvious that there's no tricking, sly hand movement, no put a little fire in the wood. No, he made it abundantly clear. We've soaked everything. One of the problems with all the fires out in California, it's so dry, right? Just quickly, things are getting out of control over there. We find he saturates everything. Notice the prayer of Elijah. In verse 36 and 37, I want you to notice the Bible says this. It came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near. Notice what he says. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Now stop right there. You know what Elijah does at the very beginning of this prayer? He makes it abundantly clear as to who he's praying to. Amen? Remember, the people are there. The people, they know some of their history. They know some things that are going on. Yes, they've been influenced by idolatry and this wickedness and the corruption. But Elijah had said back in verse 21, if the Lord be God, then follow him. Now when Elijah begins to pray, he makes it abundantly clear to whom he is praying. He's praying to the Lord God Jehovah. He says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. He wanted to be known, amen, that the Lord God is God. There's idols, they're serving idols, the people have been corrupted, they've been influenced. And he says, God, reveal yourself, let it be known that you're God. Notice, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things, notice these last three words, at thy word. In the prayer of Elijah, I believe that his obedience is recognized. He says, I've done these things, Lord, at thy word. God had given Elijah direction, just as God had given Elijah direction back in chapter 17. Elijah, go to the brook at Cherith, right? I mean, it was very specific. It was a specific place he was going to. He said it would be there that I'll feed thee, I'll sustain thee. And we find that Elijah had to obey exactly what God had told him to do. And here we find that Elijah, as he's praying, he says, I've done all these things at thy word. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me. Notice that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. It's not a real long prayer, but it's a revealing prayer. You know what Elijah was concerned about? He was concerned that they would know the God of heaven. That's what he's concerned about. That they would know with certainty. And notice in verse 37, he says that the people, this people, may know. See, remember what he say? How long halt ye between two opinions? Right? they're in this place of being confused, and the idol worship and the Baal worship and all that was going on. And Elijah says to the people in verse 21, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow him." And then when he prays that this people may know, no longer be in some state of confusion, no longer be blinded by the false prophets and the false teachers and by all of their influence, but that they would know that thou art the Lord God. Oh, what a great prayer. You see his motive. His motive is that God would be known. See, this evening in our lives, when we pray, it's not that we're praying that we would get some kind of recognition. It's not that we're serving or doing or ministering in any capacity. Whatever it is that we're doing, it ought to be that God would be glorified, that God would be exalted, that the people would know that there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. And oh, how our society needs to know that there's a God in heaven that hears and answers prayer. Would you agree? I mean, we're living in a society today that, it's been corrupted. They've been blinded. And we know that it's a work of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. And we find that there's this great spiritual battle that's taking place. And oh, that we would live our lives, and that when we pray and when we're asking God to move and to work, that it would be such that people would know and recognize there's a God in heaven. And He hears and He answers. And we find that this short prayer that's recorded in verse 36 and 37, notice Elijah's not jumping around. Elijah's not up on the altar. He's not doing any dances. He's not cutting himself. He's not chanting. He's not doing any of that stuff. He had confidence that my God hears and answers. And the Bible says, as we would move into our final point this evening, notice the power of God. In verses 38 and 39, the Bible says, then, in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Could you imagine? I know that we're familiar with the text of Scripture. I know that in Sunday school, children are taught about Mount Carmel and fire from heaven. I understand it's a familiar passage of Scripture. But can we just for a moment this evening act as if it's the first time we've ever heard it? And just in our minds, be in that place and think about all that's taken place, and there's these 450 prophets of Baal that have been doing all of this activity and jumping around and cutting themselves and crying and pleading, and there's nothing. And Elijah, right out in front of everybody, he repairs that altar and he gets those stones and he digs a trench and he prepares the bullock and he says, "Bring some water," and they pour it, and a second time and a third time, and he begins to pray. And as he finishes praying, then the fire of the Lord fell. Can you imagine what all those people thought? Can you imagine being there? I know that there have been times that I've asked the question, there have been people that have asked me the question, if there was an event in the Bible that you could have been at, what would it be? Oh, there's so many. But this would be at the near the top of the list. Amen? I mean, if we could be there and be an eyewitness, I mean, it's great to read it and to know that it happened, but I mean, to be there and to see it, whew. The Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell. Remember, connect it back to what he said in verse 24, "Ye call on the name of your gods, I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire." God didn't speak with an audible voice and say, "I am God." As soon as he got done praying, then fire, the fire of the Lord, it fell. Elijah had said, "You call on the name of your gods. I'll call on the Lord God. And the God that answereth by fire, well, he's God." Amen? Let him be God. We find that the Bible tells us in verse number 38, notice it says, the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, it'd be pretty amazing to just see fire fall from heaven, amen? But it was so intense that not only did it consume the bullock and the wood and the water, but the stones. The stones. That's some fervent heat. Amen? I mean, that is intense. That's the fire of the Lord that fell. And these people are standing by and they're witnessing this. They are eyewitnesses to what's taking place. Elijah had called them over in verse number 30. He said unto the people, come near unto me. And they see him repair. They see everything that he does. They hear him pray. And they see the fire come. And it consumes everything. The bullock, the wood, the stone, the dust, and the water. Wow. The power of God. We serve the Lord God omnipotent. There is nothing too hard for him. And can I tell you, throughout all of human history, God has desired to reveal himself to mankind. God desires to make himself known. We had, for our missions conference this year in May, our theme, Make Christ Known. If you look over there in the book of Acts and you find when Paul was there at Athens and all that takes place, he said that you're too superstitious. He walked through, he saw all these altars, but he saw an altar to the unknown God, and he said, him declare I unto you. Whew, that's exciting that we can make Christ known. And here we find that Elijah, in his prayer, it revealed his motive that all the people, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Notice the response. In verse 39, I want you to just notice the first few words. And when all the people, what's it say? Saw it. This thing wasn't done in secrecy. They saw it. They were eyewitnesses. Remember when Paul stood before Agrippa? Agrippa finalizes and says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But when Paul's speaking to Agrippa, Paul says, this thing wasn't done in secret. Agrippa, I know that you're aware of these things. Listen, these people are there. They heard the challenge. They accepted the challenge. And now they see that the Lord God, remember, he made it abundantly clear in verse 36 who he was praying to. He was praying to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. I mean, there was no confusion as to whom answered this prayer. He made it abundantly clear as to who he was praying to. And the Bible says when all the people saw it, notice how they responded. They fell on their faces. They fell on their faces. And here's what they said. The Lord, he is, notice this, the God. The Lord, he is the God. Not he is a God. He is the God. Amen? How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And after a series of events, after 6 hours of time there at Mount Carmel, from the morning sacrifice to the evening sacrifice, during all of that time that the false prophets were pleading and crying and cutting themselves, we find that there when the evening sacrifice came near, that Elijah prepares and Elijah prays and the fire from God comes from heaven. God's power is revealed. And we find that the people, they fall on their face. They say, the Lord, he is the God. Jesus said, I am the way, right? In John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. And here the people, when they see what took place and they see the power of God, the Lord, he is the God. And what an amazing event that took place here. This is real. I mean, this is Bible history account that took place. This isn't just some little story. Amen. This took place. And God revealed his power. And we find, and we'll look next week as we finish up the 18th chapter, we know that Elijah dealt with the prophets of Baal. We know that Elijah dealt with Ahab and told him about the rain that was coming, and we'll look at all of that next week. But I just want you to see this evening that our God, he's powerful. And our God, listen, Elijah said, I've done all this at thy word. He's following the direction of God. That's important for us to understand. Don't go out to your workplace tomorrow and try to call fire from heaven, amen? Just understand that Elijah, he's following what God told him to do. And as Elijah's following God, God reveals himself, and the people now know that the Lord, he is the God. See, they had been influenced by these false prophets, by this idol worship. And Elijah comes and says, how long halt you between two opinions? And God reveals himself in a very dramatic fashion. And I'm thankful this evening for the confidence of Elijah. I'm thankful that Elijah was willing to stand 450 prophets and Elijah. Can you imagine? But he knew. He knew God. He had stood in the presence of God. He mentions that on two occasions, once in chapter 17, once in chapter number 18. And he prayed, and God moved. This evening, we have full confidence that the Lord, he is the God. Amen. Amen? He is King of kings, and he is Lord of lords. He is the Lord God omnipotent. I thank him every morning for his person, for who he is, for his character. I thank him that he's my God. He's my God. That I have that personal relationship with him because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary. And this evening, you know, just as it was all the way back then in Israel's history during the time of Ahab, the people, they were confused. They heard all the false prophets. They heard all that was going on. And they needed a man to stand for God. To have courage and boldness that would stand and say, the Lord, he's God. We live in a time today, listen, the false gods that our society serves are different than what was served back in Israel's time. But can I tell you that idolatry continues to be a problem? Can I tell you this evening, there's a lot of people that don't know the God of the Bible. Oh, they use the name God, they talk about God, but they don't know the God of the Bible. And my question for us this evening is this. In Israel's time, in Elijah's day, it was Elijah that knew God. It was the people that needed to know God as well as Elijah. They had been confused. They were influenced poorly. Today, there's some people that need to know God. How are they going to know him if we don't stand up and testify? If we don't stand up and say, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what my God's able to do. Let me tell you how my God, let me tell you about my Savior. We sing the song, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Can I tell you this evening, there's a world out there that needs to know that he's a wonderful Savior. Amen? And he is. And what a joy it is to be able to share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I shared with a man recently, I said, listen, he said, I'm not into religion. I said, good, neither am I. Religion's man's attempt to reach God. Not into religion, it's relationship. I said, can I tell you what Jesus did for me? How he changed my life. He gave me purpose. He gave me direction. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. Begin to share those things. Can I tell you that religion doesn't offer those things? It doesn't. It's empty. Religion leaves you lacking and wanting. But Jesus satisfies. Amen? And what a blessing, what a joy to see this wonderful account. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the boldness of Elijah. We thank you for how you answered prayer. God, I pray that you would use us to stand with boldness, even as the disciples did, as we read in the book of Acts, to stand with boldness and testify of thy goodness and thy person, Lord, to reveal to this society that you've called us to, Lord, that you are the Lord God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by thee. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to impact eternity with our lives. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We do thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you in advance this evening, knowing and rejoicing in the fact that you indeed hear and answer prayer. We pray, God, that you'd work as only you can. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.